It's amazing how well you can get to know some people in just over a week. We've been following the story of Elsie, a woman that had welcomed people into her house for a connection group. She had listened to a pastor's plea to please host a connection group in your house, and so she invited some people over, and it's amazing how well you can get to know people in just a short time. And the first time they met, quite unexpectedly, she heard the whole story of a 40-year-old man by the name of Robert, who had been a homeless man in Denver until just a little while before. And hearing his anger and his frustration and the pain that he went through as he felt like he was invisible, as people would just walk right past him on the street and not even see him. She had shared boldly some of her own pain and her own journey through multiple miscarriages and a marriage that was strained and even broke as a result. And in just the past few days, she'd been getting to know James and Sherry Aguilar a whole lot better. They were quite surprising, even though she had just met them coming through the front doors of the church, and they were these friendly greeters, this pleasant 50-year-old couple with lots of energy that always looked just square in the eye. She discovered that they were actually doctors, with people with some very high-powered careers that had left a life of a very upwardly mobile, conspicuous consumerism, and they had, because of a short-term medical mission trip, they had chosen a life of much more intentional simplicity, and they'd scaled back, and they found joy, and they discovered God in the midst of these radical life changes. And now Elsie has been at a coffee shop with Sherry downtown, learning all these things, when Sherry's phone rings, and it's a call from Brian. Brian's a person that Elsie doesn't really know very well. He just happened to come along with James and Sherry. He's a guy who was 30 years old and single. She had heard that he worked in the fruit industry in international marketing, and she thought he was cute. And now he is calling Sherry, and Sherry's hearing some news on a cell phone about something that's going on, and Elsie is getting is finally figuring out what's happening here, and she's about to discover a whole lot more has been going on in Brian's life than she'd anticipated. So she's sitting there with Sherry at this coffee shop, and they're both on stools overlooking the main street of town, and Sherry's phone rings. She picks it up, and she's so happy to hear Brian's voice. Brian, it is so good to hear from you. It happened. That is such good news. Hey, Brian, can I tell Elsie about it? Because I don't think she knows. I can. Really? Oh, that's great. Praise God. All right, hey, I'm going to be praying for you, and I look forward to letting, let me know how it goes, okay? Okay, thanks. All right, bye. And she starts filling in Elsie with some of the details. Elsie, you might not know this, but Brian actually came down with us on our third medical missions trip to Nicaragua. See, Brian is, he works in the fruit industry as an exporter. He takes the fruit and helps it go through all the customs stuff in order to get it shipped out around the world. And so when we were needing help, because we were trying to get our hospital in Nicaragua set up, we needed help just importing all these medical supplies. And even though the first time we'd gone down there, they lost our luggage, and God really worked through that to get our attention, we kind of didn't want to repeat that now that we had three shipping containers of medical supplies trying to set up a hospital. So Brian came down with us and helped us work through the red tape. Can you imagine how much red tape there is in trying to import several tons of medical supplies? And Elsie says, I have no idea. And then Sherry says, well, I don't either, but Brian does. Isn't it amazing how God puts the people in our life at just the right time to help us accomplish the things that he's asking us to do? And he just brought Brian along at just the right time. He knew how to navigate the U.S. red tape. He figured out how to navigate the Nicaraguan red tape. And when we were down there, it was great to see these three shipping containers full of medical supplies arrive at this village. And the volunteers there to help us set up the hospital and to help relieve some of the suffering that had been the result of the poverty in the villages around Jinotegua. And it was just great to see not only Brian's gifts making a difference there, but seeing how God used that time to get a hold of Brian's heart. You know, I don't really know where Brian was with God before he came down, but somehow in that process of being down there, God got his attention. And God showed him that the gifts and the experiences and the talents and all these things that were part of his life could be used for such profound good. And he just got really excited, really, really excited. So excited, in fact, that after we had got the hospital kind of settled, he went with the translator and some other people from the team, and they went out to some of the farms and the plantations around there and started to talk to some of the farmers. And you realize that some of the multinational coffee corporations, they only pay like 60 to 70 cents a pound for coffee. But there's a whole new movement called the Fair Trade Movement that pays at minimum $1.26 a pound for coffee. And that's the difference between a cycle of poverty and actually breaking even and getting ahead. And so Brian, after he visited one of these farms, he got an idea. He got a big idea. And so he from Nicaragua, he was calling on his cell phone to his buddies back home, and he managed to set up funding and an import stream, and he set up a very small initial version of a fair trade coffee importing business called Birch Mountain Coffee, the same coffee you're drinking right now, Elsie. They sell it in this shop. It's just on small scale, and they're still going through the process of certification for fair trade and all that kind of good stuff. But isn't it great, Elsie, how God used Brian? And you know, we were able to, with our medical experience, we were able to relieve some suffering. But with his business savvy, we were able to alleviate economic suffering. Isn't that great? How God puts all these pieces together. It's so good, isn't it? And Elsie's like, yeah, that is great. What amazing news. Well, she said, well, Brian just let me know that he had just got a call from the export manager, the guy that he hired down there to pay the farmers and collect the stuff and send it on up. He just got word that there's three more farms that want to sign on. They're going to have like triple the amount coming out. All he needed to do was to set up some funding, and he did. He made some calls, and he's a really respected guy, and he got the money. Isn't that great, Elsie? Like, this Birch Mountain Coffee is gonna grow, and it's going to end such tremendous suffering in that area. Isn't that great? And Elsie's thinking, wow. You know, you don't always know what's going on with people until you get some time with them. And sometimes the people around you have a whole lot more going on under the surface than you might think. Wow, she said. Well, a few days later, their connection group, they met up again, and they were going to study a passage, Blessed Are Those Who Mourn, and actually they didn't have very much to talk about because they were excited. You know, Brian was so pumped about how this business had expanded and how many people it could help that he really felt like God was saying to him, you need to go down to Nicaragua. You need to go to some of those farms. You need to visit those farmers. You need to look them in the eye. You need to take some pictures. You got to thank them for the thing that they're a part of. So he was making plans to do that. So they were all excited. He was going to go down there. And because he was going to be down there at the time they were going to meet next week, he was going to call, you know, like during the group meeting, like on a speakerphone and stuff. And they were going to talk to him down there, you know, right after he'd made these contacts with these farmers. They just couldn't wait. I mean, it was such good news. So they all gathered around and they had the coffee table with the cookies that Robert brought this time. And and sitting on the couches, and they prayed. And James laid his hands on Brian, and they just prayed together and said, God, we just thank you for Brian. We thank you that you've made the way so that this business, Birch Mountain Coffee, could succeed and that it could cause such fantastic economic benefit to these villages in Nicaragua. Thank you, God, for making the way. Thank you, God, for opening the doors. And Lord, we just pray that you would go before Brian and you would just let every obstacle be removed. God, we just pray that you would bless him this week. And they all just laid hands on him and they were just praying up a storm and it was awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. So it was a good meeting. It was a good meeting. And even though this is only the second time the group got together, they were starting to get tight. They were getting pumped. This was good. And so they all, you know, said their goodbyes and they hugged and they made plans to meet up the following Sunday. And they just couldn't wait. I mean, they were going to get the call and the whole thing. So, whole week goes by. And they're meeting again at Elsie's house and they're all there. And here's Sherry and James, and here's Robert, and he brought cookies again. He's actually a very good cookie maker. You didn't know that, but now you do. And there's Faye, and you haven't heard from her yet because she never says anything. But they're all there. They're all there. The call was supposed to come in at 7:30. And so they're just waiting, and James's cell phone is just sitting right down on the coffee table on speakerphone, ready to have this conversation. They're all going to do this, and it's awesome. And so 7:28 comes around. 7:29 and 7:30, and the phone doesn't ring. And then 7:35, and the phone doesn't ring. And at 7:40, and they've run out of cookies, and the phone doesn't ring. So James gives Brian a call, just picks up the phone and calls him directly, calls his international number, and he waits, and they can all hear the ringer on the other side of the staticky line. It sounded a little bit like, yeah, it was really staticky and garbled, just like that. Yeah. And after a very long time, a very tired, scratchy voice answered, "Hello? Brian? Is that you?" James said. "Brian, what's wrong? Have you been drinking?" Pause. We tend to think that God blesses ministry successes. We tend to think that way. Like, we say, you know, if God's in something, it's going to work. So, you know, we pray, God, would you open the doors, you know, the open door, closed door, we do all that kind of stuff. Because we assume that if God's in it, if God's called us to do it, if we respond to what he's asking us to do, and that we assume it's going to work right. We assume it's going to work right. We assume that if we're looking for areas in our own life for improvement, where the righteousness that we're pursuing is the righteousness in us, you know, the addict that's trying to get free from the addiction, we assume that if God's in it, that it's going to work. And the person's going to, you know, if it's an addiction, they're going to conquer the addiction. They're going to be clean. They're going to be free. We assume that. And then we see the words of Christ, and it challenges us. And I'd like to look deeply at this one verse, Matthew 5, verse 6. Listen carefully, because if you really hear this today, it's going to mess with your assumptions a little bit, and I really believe if you hear the message of this clearly today, you are going to hear the gospel in a very, very powerful way. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Let's say that together. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger is a lack of food. Thirst is a lack of drink. When you hunger for something, it's because you don't have it. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it's because you don't have it, not because you do. And in your hunger, you become aware of that lack, and you want it. Do you hear that? Hunger is when you lack something, and you want it, and you don't yet have it. We assume, blessed are the righteous. Blessed are the ones that go off on missions trips and everything works well. Blessed are those who fight the addiction and win. Blessed are those who have a failing marriage and they trust God in it and they work really hard and it gets better. Blessed are those. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who don't have it and realize how deeply they need it and want it. And I ask just a couple of thought-provoking questions with that. So, in this story, because we don't know how it's going to end yet, is God only in it if it works? I mean, there's this fantastic effort, you know, you're going to do this fair trade coffee industry, it's going to help this village, it's going to help economically revitalize an area. Is God only in it if it works? Or might he also just as much be in it through the effort that failed? We long for righteousness. We see God's shalom, you know, this word that means that everything in its right place. And we see economic disparity like that. We say, that is not right. That's not the way God wants this world. Doesn't just want the rich richer and the poor poorer. He wants everybody to have what they need. And so we do something to try to right this wrong. And what if it doesn't work? What if we fail? What if we try and we fail? Does that mean God's not in it? What happens when you try for something in your own life, something you know that's good, something you know that God would want, you know, for you to be more, to be free of an addiction, for you to be a kinder person, for you to be more generous, for your marriage to thrive, for your parenting to thrive. You try so hard, you want this to go, and it doesn't work. Is God still in it? Or, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, says Jesus. What does that say about people that don't hunger and thirst? You know, who's in the more spiritually precarious position? The person that is longing for God, but they don't have a name for it, so they start looking for all sorts of false food. And they try to fill their spiritual void with all sorts of things, that many of which are harmful. And they long for it, but they keep trying. They stay hungry. They keep seeking. They keep searching, even though they're looking for love in all the wrong places. Are they better off than the person that's self-satisfied, that is spiritually satiated, and they don't feel the hunger and thirst anymore? They've got their nice little life all figured out, and they're just simply happy. Who's in the more spiritually precarious spot? Wrestle with that. Wrestle with that in your connection groups. Wrestle with that as you go deep in God's Word, as you work through some of the inserts there. And I hope you're either in a small group, or if you have to be meeting online with Facebook, or if individually or whatever, I hope you go deep. Because these questions will haunt you. And the question, so today, you, right now, what? What do you want? What do you, now just try to get the Spice Girls out of your head for a minute. What do you want? What do you really, really want? they got back in. We're going to get them out. Okay. What do you hunger for today? What do you hunger for? What do you thirst for right now? Where are you asking God to be at work in your life? What do you want? What do you really want? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What do you really want? So they're all sitting around the coffee table and the scratchy speakerphone. And now on the other side of the line, there's a very tired voice that words are slurring just a little bit. Brian, is that you? Yeah. You okay? You can hear his voice cracking. He said, I'm such an idiot. I can't believe they took me like that. What? Brian, what are you talking about? The whole thing was a scam. The whole thing. The export manager, the guy I hired, the guy I sent more than $50,000 to, whole thing was a scam. He went to the multinationals and he bought the beans from them, the beans that they purchased from the farmers. And he sent them up, charged me $1.26, and they got repackaged and sold as fair trade coffee. It was the cheap stuff, just we paid more for it. Got totally ripped off. And I just sent him another $25,000. The whole thing was a scam. The whole thing. I'm such an idiot. Such an idiot. And I thought that God was in it. I can't believe I let God down like that. I just wanted it to work. And the whole life group just they just sat there in silence. I mean, what do you say to somebody like that? That's just gone through that. What do you say? Well, Brian kept talking. He said, "Tomorrow, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna find some of those guys from the hospital, and we're gonna get some trucks, and we're gonna get some big guys, and maybe get some protection. We're gonna find this guy. We're gonna find this manager. I mean, I can't believe he ripped all those people off. We're gonna find him. We're gonna get some law enforcement. We're gonna find this guy. We're just gonna do. And that's when." That's when Faye spoke up. She was from the other side of the room. It was the first time she'd really talked. She said, wait! I think I have a way I can help you. You're going about this all wrong. But that is a story for next week. Let's pray. Lord, your word is very challenging because we believe that so often that you're only in the things that are successful. Whether that's the success in mission that we strive for and we do strive for it, or the personal successes and the ways that we want our lives to be different. And God, we lament how often we fail, and yet we We're mindful today that you're in that. Thank you, God, for your word. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, God, would you increase my hunger for you? God, would you increase our hunger for you? God, would you forgive us that so often we are spiritually satiated? We are spiritually satisfied. Would you take us to those dangerous places of hunger and thirst? And we thank you for the promise of your word that in time, somehow, that void will be filled. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.